I will call the Lapine City Council Budget Committee meeting to order. 5:30, April 28, 2015. We'll establish a quorum. Ron Alonso here.
Greg Jones here.
Connie Breeze here.
Kathy Egan here.
Kitty Shields here.
Stu Martinez here.
Dennis Scott here.
John Ward here.
Frank Schultz here.
And Ken the Mayor's here. We can do the Pledge of Allegiance now, I think, and maybe I'd ask Wayne to lead us, please.
Sure. If you'll join me, I pledge allegiance
to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, Wayne. At this time, we'll proceed into the election of a chairperson. And do we have any nominations?
We normally, most governments have a non-council member because they normally run meetings. So right. It would be customary to have one of the five lay people that are not members of the council. So someone's probably served before. So that's a couple of you. That would probably be the best, because you do need to be able to run a meeting.
And anybody can nominate.
Yes. So it's not, doesn't pay any better, and there's really not a lot of
okay. Anybody want to volunteer?
We already know that everybody's just clamoring for this position, which I already anticipated. And as much as I do not like doing this, I'll go ahead and volunteer.
I nominate Kitty Shields for chair.
I second it.
I nominate Dennis Scott.
Well, this is my new experience for me, so I wasn't too comfortable doing it.
Okay. You always got to learn.
Yep, well.
Yeah, it would be very hard for someone.
Yeah.
It's hard enough to follow Rick's.
Any other nominations? We'll close the nominations, and all those in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? Kitty? Like it or not?
All right.
Thank you.
Well, Rick makes it easy anyway. We have a nice agenda to follow. So with that, our first item now. The Budget Committee is Community Sponsorship Presentations.
Let me say just a couple things first, Kitty, so people can get to the page. In your budget, you've got a little cheat sheet for that kind of, this is just scratch paper, really. Go to your budget and it'll be page 8 of 24. That is the Tourism Fund, and that's really what we're discussing. That's
page 8.
The next eight.
Well, I think it's page 8.
Page 8 of the budget worksheet, not page 8 of the budget worksheet.
Oh, gotcha. Yes. Okay.
Page 8 of 20.
That's why he said page 8.
Tourism Fund. Yep. I didn't catch that last part.
I don't think anyone did.
And
I see it.
Okay. So that is really what we're doing, and we start off with this just sort of at the beginning of the meeting. First of all, tonight you won't make any decisions. We have groups that have wanted to come in. Some may not come in. That doesn't mean anything. Those who wanted to come in can, and so on. We didn't limit them. We didn't tell anyone they couldn't. And as we always tease ourselves, we will budget and spend several million dollars in our budget, and this is the toughest page that people will work on. Mm-hmm. And this happens in every city. It's tough to give out 10 or 20 grand that's discretionary to volunteer groups, but if you're spending $1 million on a sewer pipe, give me 30 seconds and we're done. Again, is this one of those little idiots? It's just how we are as people. Mm-hmm. And so it's important, though. This money is important to those groups. And What you're going to notice is a couple changes in these. If you look over to the right-hand column, it kind of shows what we have budgeted for this year. If you look down under, and we'll go through in more detail kind of what's here later. Transient, first of all, we got a lot of new members. So transient room tax is the majority of the funds that these groups are coming in for. And the transient room tax is motel tax. So when you stay in a motel, you've all done it, you pay a percent, I think it's 8, 9? No, it's not 9.
Right.
What is it?
8%.
This year, that revenue stream is up because the motel added 20 rooms. And then also, because of just prices going up, higher occupancies, you know, 8% of $100 is $8, 8% of $125, you know, it all starts to add up, you add 20 more rooms, it's amazing what that can add up to a night. And so we do have increased revenue, and that's a good thing about tourist and transit room tax. Under the Oregon law, transit room tax can only be spent on things that are related to tourism. And why sometimes people get creative, this is one that you've got to be kind of careful. In other words, painting the yellow line down the highway, arguing that tourists drive down the highway, doesn't get you there. It needs to be pretty direct. Putting a bench maybe in a park, tourists come to a park, you could probably get away with some of that. You know, you just have to be, it's a judgment call. There is no book that lines out exactly what you can do, but it for sure can be used for anything that brings tourists to your area, promotes tourism. You can buy radio ads promoting tourism in South County or Lapine. You can, the car club, the rodeo, Frontier Days, they use it, promote, bring people in. Sure, do some locals sit at the rodeo? Of course. But the fact is, it's marketed regionally and outside basically Lapine, the city of Lapine. That's kind of the nexus you need to use. Now, there's a group here, Habitat for Humanity, obviously does not fit for transit room tax. It has nothing to do with a tourist. The fact that someone moved to the house, came as a tourist, none of that would matter. It's obviously not for tourism. So, in the fund, you will notice under the materials and services lines, you'll note I try to put TRT, that's transit room tax. So, if you look over to the right side, you will see $52,000 is budgeted to the chamber, and that's transient room tax eligible. Unrestricted, the community fund is $8,000. We transferred in $5,000 of general fund, so that when that $5,000 came in, it has no restrictions. So there is $5,000 in here that can be given out that doesn't have to be transient room tax eligible. So, you know, sometimes we've kind of divided them up before and said it's part TRT, part something else. And the reason there's 8,000 is that we have some carryover and things, and so that's how you can get there. You'll notice the next line, tourism promotion, that is where we did like the car club. That's kind of where that came out of. Last year we had 55 budget. This year it's 10 because the revenue's up. Now, that doesn't mean you have to spend it all here tonight. In fact, I'd recommend you don't. It's as we know, things come along throughout the year, and then we never have anything the last half of the year. And then contracted services, as if we wanted to hire something to that was tourism-related. Again, that actually is undefined. The tourism fund is up pretty significantly. And so it's more of a broader conversation down the road. And what I'm trying to do is set up some more expensive things maybe for the future. And then you'll see, you know, Lapine Rodeo, arts and culture is new. I know the mayor's going to make a presentation on that. That's something that he wanted in, and it came out of a goal setting that we had, and so on. So what we're really doing here tonight is hearing from the groups what they do, what they would like. And then you just make your own notes. There's no right or wrong. We'll figure out if it fits. You can ask some questions tonight, but we will not sit here and decide on the funding tonight. And that would be my recommendation. You don't have to give what's asked. You don't have to give anything. And so that's kind of where we are. Is, any questions on kind of the transit room tax or what we're doing here? And like I say, we're kind of jumped into this because we want to get that out of the way, because then as we work on the budget over the next couple meetings, you can kind of...
Okay, so we are then ready to call on people who...
Yeah, just let... Was there no... We don't know who's here.
Yeah, we would be here. Rodeo. Okay, and you just heard the discussion that Habitat actually would not... Habitat.
We do have unrestricted funds here.
Oh, for unrestricted,
so
that's why.
They could make an argument in there.
We'll just start left, right, and go around the room. So if...
Okay, as always, we're putting on another rodeo this year. We've added another event on July 2nd, which will be a rodeo kickoff party, which is going to consist of a Chris Cable concert. We've already come to you guys and asked for money, and we're not asking for any more as far as that goes.
Okay.
We are planning more events throughout the year that will bring people here. We're doing a 4-H horse show in June that will bring people from all over Central Oregon here. We're hoping to do a barrel race later on in the fall that brings people. We do 6 play days a year that attract people from all over Central Oregon to our town. They spend money in our restaurants and things like that. We're improving our rodeo grounds to make it better people to come here. Worth Frontier Days, we're trying to make this a 4th of July destination weekend so that people will come here, fill our motel rooms, our campgrounds, our restaurants, our stores, and things like that. As far as money, we're in there for $2,500, and that's perfectly acceptable with us.
We committed, the council committed $5,000 to help pay for the concert, and we gave $2,500 already, and we told them at the time we would put $2,500 in this budget after July 1, so it's kind of a narrow asking for additional. So the $2,500 you see in the budget will be used for that.
And are we requiring documentation at the end of donations as to how any money was spent? Or
We talked about that last time, and I'm totally for it. I believe if we're giving money out, then the least the organizations can do is to come back and tell us exactly how they spent that money. I just don't believe there's a reason that they shouldn't do that. So that's my input.
Okay.
I'm like you, Ken. That's totally acceptable to me. I don't think that any of us have the right to come in here and ask for anything or give anything, you know, and we do that on the other side of the fence. You know, myself, I do the Christmas baskets, and I like to know what happens to stuff. Then there's no funny questions, there are funny answers down the road. You know, I've been married a long time, and I'm really educated.
And I think our big hang-up in past years was in what form or format we would like this. I'm all for the simpler the better.
A simple spreadsheet.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So we have a tremendous secretary in Desiree Russell, and you know, documentation and follow-up is no problem at all for us. We're just really lucky to have her. So.
Okay. Anyone have any questions?
So do we implement that as required then? Are we implementing that as required?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Do we want to... Yeah. Is there a consensus to require documentation at the end of their expenditures?
Actually, it makes
expenditures.
Yeah. So moved. whatever.
Yeah, I'll second the motion for sure.
Oh, okay. We were going to have consensus. This is probably something we should vote on. I don't know.
I mean, just whatever. I mean, as long as it, you know, what we got to work on details of what that documentation.
What that sure. would mean, yeah. But that is something. Okay, we'll move forward on maybe.
And I think the other thing would be if you, as a member or someone, you know, you think, hey, such like, say, what if they didn't have the concert? And say, hey, where did that go? I mean, I think there's some of that.
Right. Yeah.
You know, because I know what happens with a lot of the groups. You say to you $500 to a group, and they got an event that they spend $10,000 on. It's just going to fund in the group. You know, it's sometimes hard to say, did that $500 go to, you know,
right.
It's going in, it's part of the money that puts on the thing. And you know, they can come back, someone can say, well, we spent it on the newspaper ad. Sure. I mean, whatever.
Okay, just, so shall we just show of hands? See if we have a consensus for staff to come back with a brief model of how we're going to do this. All right. Ashley, got another job for you.
I think the best thing we can say it's a contribution to our expenditures, and it's going to go in the pot.
Yeah. You know, yeah. When would that documentation be required?
Well, it's got to be after the event, because you haven't spent it.
Well, we have spent part of it.
Well,
yeah, probably before you come ask.
I mean, I think in your case, you came in specifically and asked, you could, I mean, literally send us a letter or a note that just says, we had the concert was held on this date, you know, and your $5,000 went to pay for the contract with them was $15,000 and that, you know, whatever.
Okay.
I mean, I don't need a canceled check.
Right. So, staff will have brief guidelines on how we're going to. It'd be really nice to finally have this in place, something that we can follow year after year. So at the next meeting,
okay,
you know, we'll they'll have the staff will have something here for us to approve, and
we won't give this out till July 1st, so they won't be finished with.
And that's only after the fact, not before the.
Well, you can't know how your money was spent until after you spent it.
They're presenting.
This and this.
They're presenting right now how they're going to spend the money that they're asking for.
Yeah, this is what they're projecting to do with it. And then when they're done, they'll report. It'll be a report.
And they do fill out a form when they come in, so we have a little bit of an idea.
And this particular item was actually voted on by the council in a motion.
Right.
So it's official.
That's the $5,000, but not the $2,500.
No, this is half of that.
This is $25,000.
Oh, that's after the $25,000.
This is half of it.
Oh, okay.
This is part of the $5,000.
Oh, okay.
We split it budget year, part before July 1 and part after July 1. This is the after July 1.
Okay. Right.
We split it over two budget years.
Hey, so did anyone?
Questions?
No.
Yes.
Okay.
you guys had us in for 25, and then we came and asked for an additional 25.
Yeah. Just want to make sure that you're on the same page as the council there.
Okay. Let's. If we have questions of people, direct it through the chairperson or Rick, so that everybody hears what the question is and what the answer is.
I was asking if he was on the same page as what the council had decided on that amount of money, to make sure there wasn't. He wasn't expecting another $2,500 from us.
Oh.
Beyond what, you know, what we already talked about and approved.
Okay. You got your answer. Okay. Kathy, you had a question?
No, I guess that's what I was wondering. This $2,500, so you won't come again for the next rodeo asking for more at that time. This is it.
No. This was understood when we came and asked for this money. This will be for next year.
I just want to make sure everybody.
We're not coming asking for anything more than what we've already asked for.
Okay. Thank you.
And we appreciate what you guys have given us. So.
Thank you. Committee members, anyone else have questions? Ready to move forward to the next presentation?
Okay, can I make a I'm Jesse Hager, Hilux Car Club. I'm the current chairman for this year's show, and this is Tom Warren, our club president.
We'll pass out. Evidently, these two didn't get in.
Okay.
The second sheet of this is our monies that you gave us last year, how it was spent.
Oh. Wow. We have about
on top
Thank
of
you.
It.
Huh?
It's two pages.
Okay. Yeah, there's two pages too. This year's out and then last year's monies. And our monies are kind of to help us with the show and the swap meet. And as you all know, we hold a show at the Senior Center. It's in need of some gravel and to keep the dust down for the car show and to also kind of with the appearances for the car show. And like our car show does bring in people for the show and for the swap meet. So. And what we're wanting this year, last year you gave us $1,500 and we're hoping for another $1,500 this year. We were able to put down some gravel. We still need more, and I think we had some other.
We would like to, this work that we've done was all on the east side of the Senior Center. It's not totally complete, but we're expecting 6 loads of gravel an hour, which will complete it. We would like to go to the west end and clean that up some and maybe do some landscaping in the new sidewalk inside.
So basically you're trying to make a bigger area to park cars, so you're trying to gravel and make it nice around the scene.
Trying to get rid of all that dirt out there.
Yeah, that's been one of the issues of the participants in our show, is that where we've been, had to park them, it is really dusty, and a lot of car people don't really care for that. But if we can gravel it, level it out, it really does help, and it improves the senior center too.
Okay. Committee members, any questions?
So you're asking for $1,500? Okay.
Part of that too is we're in our 17th show and our canopies are starting to wear out. So part of that, if we have any of that left over from that gravel, we're hoping to start replacing those. So
okay.
That'll help a lot with that.
I was wondering, because gravel's expensive.
Uh-huh, yeah.
You're asking, we've got $1,500.
Yeah.
Probably eat up most of it.
We spent $1,000 this year.
Sunwest Ready Mix had partnered up with us and gave us a lot of the fill. We got 6 loads of fill out to the backside of it. And they're giving us at a real good price, basically cost.
Okay. Any other questions, comments, discussion? Stu?
I know it's benefiting the Senior Center, but does this, by improving their parking lot, now the Senior Center is nonprofit, is that right?
Yes.
So then I hope this raises the value of their building.
We hope. Yeah, they've been a good partner to the car show, so and the car club with our different events. So hopefully that if we can help improve that, it helps us both.
So
us definitely with the show.
In essence, then by us helping you folks, we're also
helping
the Senior Center. So that's two for one.
Mm-hmm.
Sweet.
I also think though that I think that as partners. The Senior Center would have every right, and as a business that keeps their doors open and everything, to charge a fee for the car club. And by doing this, by partnering with the Senior Center and helping fix up their grounds and everything, it not only helps the car club, but in effect helps them, and so there's a mutual benefit.
All right. Was there anything else you wanted to add?
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Then we will move on to the next one.
My name is Wade Watson. I'm with the board of Newberry Habitat. Dwayne is our executive director, and he's also here with me tonight. Newberry Habitat is focused on providing affordable housing in South Deschutes County. I wanted to just say that because it's different than Bend Habitat, which is focused on the central part and the northeast part of the county. So all of our focus and all of our construction presently is actually right in Mapine. The organization was founded in 1993, Since that time, we've built 22 homes, so 22 years, 22 homes. So it's average, you know, some years it was 1.5, but average of about 1 a year. In addition to building homes, we do repair projects for people who have difficulty doing that for themselves. So, you know, handicapped people, elderly people, we've been doing those kinds of projects about 6 to 8 per year. We currently hold about 17 mortgages. Our average recent mortgage, meaning the last 5 years, has been in the range of 100,000 to 110, in that range. Other contributions that Habitat, Newberry Habitat, makes to the community, you're all probably aware of the Restore being developed 5 years ago. We just had the anniversary this spring. That not only provides a service to South Deschutes County, but also employs four people. We, earlier this year, purchased some additional property there with our long-term intent being to try to expand the Restore facility and make it an even more of an asset to the area. Our revenue sources come from donations, a lot of private donations, some corporate donations, grants. I would characterize most of the grants as being modest. For example, Deschutes Brewery this year gave us $5,000, and that's a generous grant for an organization like ourselves. Additionally, the net proceeds from the Restore are a revenue source for us, and that's one that we're hoping to expand. The Restore in Bend, for example, is a tremendous revenue source, and we aspire to that level. Additionally, we have fundraising events. So, for example, in the fall, there's a tournament at Crosswater that last year, I think, raised about $35,000. So, but I guess the reason I'm here tonight, after giving you all of that background relative to the organization, is that we're trying to respond to the dramatic need for affordable housing in South Deschutes County. I'm sure you're all very much aware of how dramatic that need is. And so what we are trying to do is to increase our production this year to finishing 3 houses. So we're working in the Terry Park subdivision over in Midsway. We have one house that's about 50% complete, and we're expecting to have that done and ready to dedicate in July. And then we have 2, if you've driven by out there, the foundations have been finished within the last few days. Mm-hmm. So we're ready to start on the framing process. So that'll be a big step for us. Frankly, that'll give us a higher production rate than Med Habitat is going to achieve this year. So we'll be very proud of that if we're able to accomplish it. I guess just to put it in perspective, we've requested $3,500. $3,500 from the city would represent about 1% of our capital need for these 3 houses for this year. So in the big picture of things, it's modest, but everything we can get from any source this year is going to be critical to our success. So any questions that you have, I'd be happy to try to respond to.
Questions, anyone?
I think one of the things not to forget is that every house that we sell to someone also empties a rental unit, because all the people that end up being occupants of our houses are already occupants of the area. So we feel like we're accommodating 2 needs: affordable first homes for people to purchase, as well as freeing up rental.
Would this be, I've heard 2 other things come up, they've never come before the council and we've never dealt with, but was some sort of a discount on the permit fees you've asked me about, which is an additional money. And then secondly, just the other day, someone mentioned about waiving or helping pay water or sewer bills for the first year of some of these houses. Now, I don't know if these are things that are just, you know, picked up at the beauty parlor, or is it stuff that actually is talked about at your board meeting as potential items. So I think the city has to be careful that these are cumulative effect, and so I think So are you saying that this is a request in absent any of those others? Is this addition to?
Your response to the, you in great detail explained to me why you couldn't accommodate a request for reduced fees. So I understand that, and that won't be a request in the future.
And what about the water bills or something? Has that been discussed?
Not. There's been no board action that's been taken on that. The request that I'm presenting to you is the only thing that the board has discussed.
Has the board talked about water bills? Yeah.
No.
Okay.
Well, I think at a board
at the last meeting, they talked about it.
Some conversation, but the order of magnitude was $250, I think, was the number referenced. Is that correct, Ken?
I think that's right.
Per house.
Per house.
So 750.
The water bills?
I don't know the details. I always know what it's talking about. So I just want to make sure we just know what the total.
Yeah, I think in that context, they could be viewed as separate requests.
Okay.
Okay.
Any other questions?
I was just wondering if the houses are built. You said these ones were directly in the Pine, but in the past, have they not been in Sun River as well? Or are you?
Not that I'm aware of.
There have been some homes years ago were built in Oregon Water One Plant.
Okay.
Yeah, but we're not building right now.
You're not. Okay.
Where all of our construction, new construction, is in the Pine and Terry Park subdivision off Mitts, and in the Newberry Woods subdivision out by Wickia Junction.
We presently have land that will take us through 2017 lots.
Lapine lots?
Yes.
Okay.
And so very shortly, we're going to need to start thinking about what we do beyond 2017.
Okay. So you were looking for the assurance that subject homes would be within the city limits?
Yeah. Well, for this $3,500, we're asking for those three homes that are under construction.
Right.
They're definitely within the city limits.
Yeah.
We're not asking for 2016 or 17 at this point.
Right. Do you know when the last time was that you had asked for money from Habitat?
I don't know that we ever have.
That's what I was wondering.
No.
I don't remember.
So part of the reason for the request is just this ambitious program that we've established for the coming year. Again, we're increasing our production by probably 2.5 times if we're able to succeed at doing this.
And you already have the people applying for the mortgages for these?
The one that is partially completed, those people are fully on board, and we've identified the two other families that will go into the other two that the foundations were just completed on.
Applications have increased then after the last push to get more people involved?
Yeah, we've had public meetings here once a year.
Mm-hmm. Twice now.
Yeah. Once last year and once about a month ago.
Mm-hmm.
And we're getting good response.
Wonderful.
The demand is dramatic, and I think people are starting to recognize that we're building a quality home that's very energy efficient and providing it at an affordable price. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Wade.
All right. Anne?
My request is in two parts, and I have a few copies of the request. Make one for everybody. Basically, both having to do with signage. As you know, we've moved to the Jordan building a year ago, and we've managed to do quite a few things in there as far as improvement. The one thing we haven't been able to see our way clear to do in our budget is signage. And we've got this great, huge front of the building with no sign on it other than the visitor info. We put that up right away. We were able to do that because there was actually an existing sign box there, and we just had a new face made for it. So what our proposal is we'd like to have a sign done for Lapine Chamber of Commerce and Visitors. This is a conception from Always Signs. Renee and I have been working together on that, as well as, of course, Frontier Days is in there. and they would have a smaller sign in keeping with their smaller office space on the building as well. So what we're asking for, the signs, both signs are going to cost about $2,000, and we're asking for $1,500 from the city. The chamber will pay $300 as part of theirs, and Frontier Days will pay $200 as part of theirs.
So that's $2,000
total? $2,000 total for both signs, yes.
Those are going to be on the building?
Those will be on the face of the building on our end. There'll be similar signs, as you can see, to what's already on there. There'll be sort of a segmented sign as opposed to, you know, a big billboard kind of sign. They'll be in pieces. So particularly in the chamber one, the sun, and that'll be sort of 3D looking. I think they'll be really striking signs.
Can you go back and explain how much the city would be contributing?
$1,500 is what I'm asking. Yeah, we're asking for the city. So it's sort of a combination between Frontier Days and the chamber.
And then the other was 2 and 3. Okay.
Yeah, that's what our contribution. We would pay. The total cost is $2,000. The two organizations would pay $500.
Yeah.
We're asking the city for $1,500.
Thank you. Mm-hmm.
Those would be TRT eligible because it's a visitor center.
Yeah.
There's no.
Yeah. And then.
Do you have firm quotes on that?
I do. I'm still waiting for a quote from one other local company. They're not. Only because they're not sure they can do something that large. Always signs, of course, that's what they do. They were the first one back with a quote. And the other ones, the other two in town have not really ever done signs of that size, so they're kind of thinking it over. That's where I'm at with that.
And you just moved there this year, right?
Yes, a year. We've been there a year.
And how long are you going to remain there?
As long as Carol Brewer lets us and keeps the rent affordable.
We have to put a sign up and then.
Oh, no, well, that's. One reason that I haven't really pursued it is I can tell you, in that building is probably among the most historic buildings in town in terms of, you know, having been here the longest amount of time. And Carol Brewer put vinyl siding on it probably 15 years ago now, and it looks horrible. And so we replaced a portion of the back of it because we were having water issues. It has no overhang on the back, and so water was coming off the roof and going behind the vinyl siding. And so we did replace the back of it, made some awnings over the windows, and put wood siding up there. And so I'm hoping, she wants to do the whole building. It's a matter of whether she wants to spend the money or not. So I'm hoping she'll see her way clear to do that so we can take the vinyl off before we put the signs on, which would make, of course, perfect sense. So, she's out of town, actually, for 3 weeks. So she's just been dragging her feet. It's a lot of money to do that whole building. It's a great, huge building. So anyway, we're hoping that's how it pans out. I think even if she decides not to do it, I think we'd like to have signs up by summer, so we'll do it anyway. It'd just be extra cost somewhere down the road to take them down and put them back up.
Yeah. Okay, any other questions, comments?
On the sign part? The second part is kind of a fun thing. We've had the banners that have been on the light poles for some years now, about 5 or 6 years, and they're not really looking shabby. They've just been there a while. We look at them every year. We had a photo contest this year through the chamber for Newbury Country for our new visitor guide, and we received just fabulous, fabulous photos. And so we've been trying to think of other ways to use them other than the visitor guide and our website. And somebody mentioned that we need new banners for the light poles. And so I explored new banners. There are several communities in Oregon that are using photos for their banners. And so these are some concepts using the photos. These would be two-sided, like we have now. They're 5 feet. They're 2 feet wide and 5 feet long. There's 12 light poles. we would need 13 banners because there's we put two banners up on the light pole up at the head of Huntington that says welcome, or welcome to, however that pans out. It says welcome to Lapine on it now. It already says Lapine, but the concept with the 13 banners is kind of cool. We chose 8 photos that actually work, you know, in that configuration. We'd probably choose the 6 that we like the best and have 2 each of 6 of them, and then 1 extra for the welcome sign.
I just think that's such small wording.
So the cost on those is about $100 a piece. I have bids out for 13. So bids anywhere from $52 up to $113. So I rounded it off to $100. We'll probably just ask some more questions of these people as far as why there's such a, you know, wide difference in cost. I did get bids.
So what was the cost for one banner? For a banner?
Huh?
About $100 a piece.
Size wise?
Yeah.
So what's the size of these?
2 foot by 5 foot. Yeah. That's what's up there now.
5 times.
So that gives you an idea of what they look like when they're up there. That's those.
They're 5 feet tall and 2 feet wide?
Mm-hmm. Okay. They're tall, 2 feet wide. Okay.
So we like these because they depict several seasons too. They'd be up probably the bulk of the year, whereas now we sort of change them out. I think we'd like to avoid some of that changing out because it's done by volunteers and it's not always easy to, you know, get them out there several times a year. We would in the summertime from June through July 4th put up the Frontier Days and Rodeo. We've got 6 Frontier Days and Rodeo banners that we interspersed down the road. We put those up for the most of June and through the 4th of July. But then these would be up all year long. So what we're asking for is the $1,300 to buy those, have the banners made. The chamber has sort of taken on the job of storing all the banners and making sure, coordinating with volunteers to get them up and that sort of thing, and we're perfectly fine with doing that. That's not an issue. So,
and do you have a copy of that for the budget committee?
Yes, this is all yours.
Okay.
How much is it for those 13?
1,300. Yeah.
13 and 15, so 28 total.
28.
Okay.
And then I don't have this on a piece of paper, but maybe to start a conversation, we're doing our budget as well, as most organizations are. And what we have done is come up with 2 budgets, one to address the possibility of an increase in the minimum wage. Because our staff right now, they both make a little over the current minimum wage, but they don't make the $11.50, which is what it would go to if this is passed. And so we came up with just a second budget that, in case it passes, then we have to address it. And it amounted to $3,200 extra in salary and payroll taxes, which in our budget we split between the chamber and the visitor center because that's how we split the payroll in our budgets. We increased our membership to accommodate the $1,600 on the chamber side and increased the money from the city to accommodate the $1,600 on the other side. So, you know, it's kind of, we don't know where it's going to happen, what it's going to be, but in terms of, you know, the money that we bring in, I didn't know any place else to put that increase other than the increase in the amount that the city gives the chamber. So
right now it's a 52,000. So what you're saying, you'd like to see that increase to 53.6,
right?
To cover increased payroll
that potential
costs.
Yeah. Okay. Any questions?
Yeah, it's not a question, really. I wanted to say thank you for the budget report that you give us every 3 months.
Oh, my pleasure.
Thank you.
It's good for me too, to see what we've done and Anybody else? Okay. Anything else? Anyone? Questions? Comments? Okay.
Thank you very much, Ann.
Thank you.
All the things she requested would be $200.
All right. Did anyone else?
That's myself, I believe.
Bicycles.
Right. I'm Scott Morgan. I'm Lapine's DPAC rep for Deschutes County. I think I have enough of these to go around.
You tell them what that abbreviation is.
So that BPAC thing is Bicycle Pedestrian Advisory Committee for Deschutes County. I've been on there since July of 2014. Every now and then we have something come across our table that looks attractive. I'll put it that way. So this is a brief here about Central Oregon's hub proposal from ODOT. It's a combined grant that requires the grant services from ODOT and then funding from the city. It's going to be a pretty quick brief. I've got a script to go with it. And it'll kind of focus in on my proposal for Lapine very quickly. If you take a look, Lapine Hub, a great place to start, whether that's family and friends going out for a day or a week of activity here in Lapine, or if we're talking about a level of commitment to outdoor activities and bicyclists from the city of Lapine, is a great place to start. You take a look at page 2. This is from the Central Oregon Hub brief that we got back in January. Some of the things that they propose are amenities that will contribute to the community. Some of the ones I'd like to highlight that we're going to have incorporated into our proposal is an information kiosk, which will be 24/7, 365. It'll be there all the time. This is the outside hub, bicycle parking, bicycle repair station. Some of the proposals I've seen for the different cities also include landscaping, lockers, water fountains, but it's a phased developmental type project. Why do we need a hub? It encourages people that come to visit the community to stay. Provides visitors a seamless and welcoming experience. We want people to come back. So it's going to connect with the bicyclists and hopefully other people that are doing activities in the local area. The concept is to put hubs in all the cities of Central Oregon with an overarching theme for the region. As you can see on page 3, that is a slide from what they just finished up in the Gorge. Okay. They went with a theme tied to scenery in the local area. I imagine that for Central Oregon Hub, it would include shots of mountains, tree stands, and high country landscapes. I've had a chance to look at the preliminary proposals for 5 communities in the Gorge area and have used that to form the basis for the proposal for Lapine. There's a member of Travel Oregon on the group, or the working group, for the Gorge communities, and my guess is photos of the region and specific hubs to include the locations will be posted on the Travel Oregon website. If you take a look at pages 4 and 5, there are the schematics, which is part of what ODOT's providing. It's going to be the engineering, the surveying, schematics, support for the project throughout throughout Central Oregon. You can see some of the quality of the work and what I'm sort of looking at to start our basis on. Proposal for Lapine includes a 3-panel information kiosk, 4 bike racks, a bike fixing station, and appropriate signage system. The goal is to provide a showcase for all the tourism-based activities based out of Lapine to include hunting, fishing, biking, camping, RVing, ATVing, all the different activities that we have going on here in Newberry Country. Their focus was on the bike piece. When I talked to the representative of ODOT, I wanted to emphasize that we have so many different activities going on down here in Lapine that the bike piece is just another layer that's being added on top. All these other activities are already going on at the same time. Let's see. So it's going to be a 3-panel informational kiosk. Panel 1 on the kiosk will cover activities up to Lava Land, Mount Paulina, out to West Wabikia, and the Cascade Lakes. Panel 2 would cover local businesses that support these quality of life activities, such as restaurants, lodging, RV facilities, and other businesses. Panel 3 would be set aside for culture activities right here in Lapine. Frontier Days, Lapine Rodeo, Rhubarb Festival, Music Festival, other local cultural activities that happen right here. And I'll incorporate a mapping system also into the kiosk. So one of the nice things about this project, along with the services that ODOT brings, is this is scalable. So you can do some of the pieces to start with, and you can build on that years out, years down the road. A lot of the communities had landscaping, they had cement benches, they had art murals. So you start small. If you want to add more as you go along, you can add more as you go along and add to it. As you can see on the next page, which is going to be about page 6 and 7, I've worked up some preliminary costs. So page 6 pretty much covers it. I'm looking at some bike racks right here, the kiosk, bike fix station, wayfinding signs, hub signs, and the subtotal is $9,400. And then there's a $20,000, I'm sorry, 20%, I guess it's over budget fee. I'll be looking to trim this down as opposed to beef it up, so to speak. Some of these items I will probably be able to acquire for less than the cost basis that they have right here. I base this off the cost basis from all the projects and boards. Let's see here. So in conclusion, take a look at the last page. So the commitment from the city is the roughly $11,000. And the commitment from the state or from ODOT is all the services that they will provide in helping put it together and facilitating it throughout the Central Oregon. So we would tie in with other hubs in Prineville, Madras, Sisters, Redmond. It's a long process, and we're starting on that process, and thought I'd come before you today, request the funding so that I can engage, know that I have the commitment, I have the time and the energy for myself to do it. I know there's other interested members in the committee to go forward with it, and I thank you for your time. I'd like to open the floor for questions, discussion.
You mentioned an existing hub in Hood River, and then you mentioned a number of others in areas like Prineville and Madras. So which of those now are currently in existence?
So the Hood River,
is that the only one? Is that the only one that's in existence right now?
No, all the ones in the gorge, they did this like, I guess, a chunk at a time. So in the gorge, they did Mosier, the Dalles, Hood River, Wood Village, and Cascade Locks. Those five or six communities worked together to put together the project. ODOT came and briefed the Deschutes County DPAC in January saying, hey, we would like to do the same thing in Central Oregon. So we're starting on that process in Central Oregon, so that would be the five or six communities in Deschutes County and hopefully include Prineville and Madras also. So none of the ones in Central Oregon have started yet. All the ones, my understanding, in the Gorge are in development. I know Hood Rivers is almost done. My plan is to go drive and go see the one in Hood River, go see the one in the Dalles. They're about the same scale as what we want to do, so to give me better ideas and go with other people, obviously, to see what we want to put together down here.
Have you talked or met with the Park District about putting it, like I'm assuming you're talking about down somewhere by the big park, because there's already a restroom.
Right, there is a restroom
you
there.
You don't want to build another restroom just
right.
for this.
Right.
So. Have you, is that where you're thinking?
I've talked to Karen Miller down there, the director. I've talked to Ann. We've walked around a little bit, and I've talked to the mayor about spots here in the city here. I think, you know, that's a discussion. I think we have a location here. That may be the best location, and other people might think, should it be closer to the highway? And the ODOT brings in outside consultation to help us pick the best spot. I noticed that like Hood Rivers is off the highway, the Dalles project is right on the highway, so there's pluses and minuses both ways that will be discussed throughout the process.
Sounds like, is this probably a project that would be constructed actually more than a year from now, so if they wanted to fund some this year, then fund some next year when you get into some of these bigger ticket items, because by the time you actually, if you haven't even got a location yet, yeah. You know, and that hasn't even started the study. The actual construction is probably a year out, knowing how these things work.
I mean, that could be true. If you look at the timeline from the information I received, we got the brief in January, and then I requested the PDFs for Hood River and the Dalles last week. And you can tell that they've been working on it for a while. So they probably were doing this in 2014 and then started their build.
Sure.
In 2015, and they're going to finish it up here this year. So it could be that you could dice that up a little bit.
I think, Scott, in our discussions and looking at some of this, it would be very safe to say that this is a valid point and Scott and I have already talked about the fact that, you know, this is down the road somewhere, but ODOT is interested in doing this in Central Oregon now. They have a pot of money, and they want to do what they've done in the gorge in Central Oregon. I think that the idea of committing the you know, in the budget that some money, whether that gets spent this year or not, and then, because I don't believe it would get done before next year, knowing what I know. And but I think the commitment that we would move forward on something so that when he has the conversations with, you know, the BPAC and Prineville and those others are making a decision, because apparently the background to some of this has been that it was cheaper to put together the materials and everything by having a large group, doing it in a larger group of sites that they did it at. So that was part of it.
This project is my typical soapbox. So for those of you, and we went through it twice recently, so you all have to back me on it because we've all talked about it. The 11 grand is the easy part of this. It's where is it going? Whose land is it going on? Who's responsible for it? Who maintains it? Who repairs it a year later or 5 years later when it breaks down? Those make the 11 look cheap, or at least not complicated. There may not be dollars assigned to the complicated parts. So I think that, you know, for the group here, I agree with the mayor. I think it's something we could talk about. It's a concept we like, because I think that's about as far as you can go. You know, it's a great concept, and it's something that would be good, and it certainly would be TRT eligible because of the biking and all that, so you're good that way. Then, but as far as committing to something, you know, the dollar amount and all that, it would be a little tough. But I don't think that the state or anyone expects us to at this point, because there's too many unknowns. But I think that I personally think it's actually a good deal. I mean, I think it'd be fantastic.
So I think it's
growing.
A good deal too. I think it's doable, achievable. We could do this over the next year or 2 years. And so what I'm going to tell them when I'm talking to them is that I have a commitment to fulfill that as we go forward. So the idea being that I'm saying, you know what it sounds like to me, you're saying that you'd be able to commit to the money is all...
Well, I'm not saying that. This is their group. Just saying that I'm not even a voting member. I'm just saying, giving them the advice that there's a whole lot of water going to roll under this bridge. Mm-hmm. So really the decision for the group is more of a... You know, the concept and a commitment, and I think we can easily spread it over a couple of years. You're talking $5,000 or $6,000 for a couple of years. Also, part of it could come out of this. Part could come from the general fund. I mean, there's other ways. If there's a little bit of sidewalk, you could use $1,000 of street fund money, you know. So I think that's my job, is to figure out the magic of it. It's really more of, is it a concept that you support? And obviously, that's...
It kind of takes you into if the committee feels like this is something conceptually that they would buy into. When things become more concrete, then we can look at holding monies aside, waiting until
we
the plan
more.
Develops and you get your site and all this kind of stuff.
Are any sites of this nature in operation at the current time? And what is the use rate and experience at those sites?
So those are good questions. But I think that the Oregon tourism industry that backs bicycling and ODOT combined probably perceive that there is a demand out there, and that is why they are providing this service at this time. So this service may not be available next year, where they'll say, hey, we'll pay for these pieces up front, we'll execute on all these pieces. And I'm not really saying the money piece, so maybe I came across a little bit strongly. I apologize for that. But I need to have a positive
understand
feeling
entirely,
going
and
forward,
I,
right?
I can see the appeal in the concept, but bicycling is popular in many other parts of the country, Colorado, California. Have they established things like this? And how is the...
No, they haven't. And they haven't established things like the Oregon Scenic Bikeways. Oregon made $400 million in 2012. on bicycle tourism. There's a lot of bicycle tourism happening in this state. It's an international draw. It's a West Coast draw. A lot of people in the state are very active, too, with bicycles. Bicycles aren't, I would say, they're not going away. It's becoming more popular as opposed to less popular. So, I mean, you have very good points. You kind of have to, in the long run, will you be saying, hey, is it a gamble, I guess, is what you might be asking? Because if you're going to ask for all these numbers, those cost money to get, if you see what I'm saying. They really do cost money to get. So you have to kind of put a faith in it and say, you know, we're going to build it in the long run, make it happen, and that it will get used. And one of my points, and I brought this up earlier, is that this is not just for the bicycling community, although some of the materials are definitely bicycle-oriented, it's also for all the other people that come, right? They drive in, they go, look, hey, I'm going to go camping, hey, I'm going to go horseback riding, I'm going to go hiking, I'm going to go kayaking on the Little D, whatever the case might be. It's a hub for all those activities, too. So don't think about it as being exclusively for the bicycle piece. So I don't know. That doesn't really answer your question, I know, but I can't give you that definitively today.
Is there any information, I don't know what you're talking about, is there any information from you said Hood River was completed?
He said it was close to complete when I talked to him yesterday about some of the costs.
Is there the Columbia Gorge, is there a site up there that's totally completed?
You know, I could probably find that information out for you tomorrow. I know I got the layouts in the PDF for all five sites up there, so they're obviously way into this. If it's an 8-month long project or a 12 month long project, they're very, very well on that way. Yeah. I know that the we don't have the pictures here for Hood River, but you know, they're tearing up concrete and doing work, so it'll be done by the end of this summer, I'm sure.
I think those are good things that could come down the road, but I think the committee's got a good picture of it, of what it,
your questions, those are things that, before we spend a dollar, we're going to know answers to all that, so I think that's all good. This is so premature of but I think that, you know, you do. I think what he's asking is, do you buy into, there's a ton of places that you will rail off of this if it, maybe the costs become 25 grand, we're not going there. You know, we don't know where it's going to be located. If they said they're going to put it at City Hall, we have to build a $100,000 bathroom. It's railing off. But because you said the state of Oregon's going to do the planning, they're good at that. And they'll have blueprints and drawings, and they will come up with all of that. We'll have a good template, and then, you know, we'll be able to bid it. We could phase it. Maybe we say we'll do just $5,000 in the first year and $5,000 in year three. See, there's all kinds of things. I told him in an email that a lot of this is way too deep for a budget meeting because the concept hasn't been yet worked out. But it's okay to come ask, and if you guys just think it's a dumb idea and you don't want any of those funds to go there, tell him.
Yeah. Well, I'll say one more thing, too. I mean, there are a lot of very high-profile cycling organizations in this state and elsewhere, and I don't imagine their pockets are empty.
I imagine they're not. So this is an ODOT-sponsored program. That's a redirect for me. I've been out connecting as much as I can, being a volunteer with different types of organizations and taking on different things. This one came indoors, so to speak, when I was briefed at the DPAC in January. I said, you know what? If ODOT's providing all these services, it's probably a good thing for the city. And it doesn't mean, I would add, that once you get it sounds good to me from what I'm seeing around the table that I'm going to say that there's a certain level of interest and commitment. I'm not talking about dollar figures. I'm just talking about that this is a good idea. Continue to pursue it. But I won't go and approach other people.
Yeah. I'm giving you devil's advocate comments, but I want you to also, I do agree, I like the concept. I think it's great. I like cycling. I like what it does.
Well, there's nothing to say that there's not a group out there, but they have to be approached. I have to find the time to approach them and talk to them about what it would be the benefit for the community of Lapine if we say we stand one of these up here. And maybe they will contribute some money to the cause, so to speak. But I really have to get off the ground here today. I appreciate the time introducing the concept here today. Looks like it got pretty positive. I appreciate playing devil's advocate. And, you know, I think that the state's behind it, and I just think it's a good time to chime in and do this now. 3 years from now, this opportunity may not be here. This opportunity wasn't here last year, otherwise I would have heard about it when it came up in January. Hey, we had this opportunity last year. It was not there last year, so I know it started this year.
So is this something that the committee feels like they could buy into, so to speak, at some level, in the upcoming budget, pending more this concept gelling further, getting some answers like where this will be, getting some costs, getting answers on future maintenance, ongoing maintenance, and all this sort of thing. I think we all kind of like the idea.
Yeah, I think it's good to have it down on paper as a request. Mm-hmm. And then we can decide what to do. Mm-hmm.
I think it's a place where you start. Mm-hmm. And we wait 3 years, and then it'll be another 2 years before it gets started, and the program may never come back around. But the city manager's right. There's always a lot in the details, and I think the idea, my personal feeling is that I heard a lot of, the concept sounds good, and we could support it, and then decide whether we want to go further than that.
Yeah, we could look at, figuring we will have monies in reserve from TRT funds, and just figuring that this is a nice thing that if it gels a little better at some point in the future, whether it's this budget year or the next one, just kind of have that in our dialogue and in our records, that this is a hopeful that we would be ready to put some money towards later on.
I think it'll be a great discussion at our next meeting.
Well, so Scott, does this mean that ODOT getting with the counties and making all their highways more bicycle friendly?
Well, that's a whole other discussion.
It's nice to have a hub, but if you can't go anyplace,
you're imagining people on 97.
Thank you for your time.
Hold your breath.
Okay. Well. So we are ready to.
Thank you for your time.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Did we cover everyone? Did we cover everyone?
Take a little break.
Yeah, let's do that. I just wanted to make sure nobody sneaked in behind me that I didn't notice.
Nobody's there.
Okay.
Okay.
I'd like to say thank you to every one of you guys that come down here and do that, miss your dinners, and do all the kind of things. We do the same thing, and I'm really, really proud to say that I live in the Pine. I've been here 22, 23 years, and sometimes it takes a lot of effort and a lot of work, and just like we're doing over there, and you guys are, but I want to thank each one of you.
Well, thank you
for the comment.
Thank you very much.
So, okay.
And any candy. That's good.
You're not sure if I can get friends from my eyes.